Well, it's great to have you all here at our 11 o'clock service, and welcome if you're watching online. As Bevan said, we're on a Faith on the Move series, where we're looking at issues, challenges in life that can really hinder our faith moving forward. And as you can see, we've got a bit of an analogy, a bit of a picture, a metaphor, if you like, of this series of running, running through the ups and downs of life, and how can we keep running. I've been running the same route in the hills for many, many, many years, and there are times after those runs on Saturday mornings I feel like I need prayer for healing and support. But today we're looking at healing and illness and sickness, and this is an area actually that can really hinder people's faith moving forward. It doesn't actually have to be necessarily a really big health crisis. Even small ones can actually really hinder your faith moving forward. And I just want to say that Kev and I have had the privilege of getting to know Rebecca, whose story we heard earlier. Rebecca's incredible for what she's been through since a 10-year-old, and how many times she's faced death. And, you know, it's still a challenge for her, but she's kept her faith on the move. She really has. What amazing testimony. And so it's awesome to be able to focus and celebrate some of those stories today. But it can be a crisis point, healing and illness. In fact, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of reactions to bad reports of health or ongoing chronic health. You can get deep, deep disappointment. Disappointment in life situation, disappointment in God. You can react with grief, you can react with anger, you can act with doubt over God's providence and his provision and his sovereignty. You can get confused and you can start asking questions, does God really love me? Is God actually really that powerful? From a partial situation, it is tough times when there's a serious illness, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be serious to bring up a lot of issues that can roadblock our faith going forward. So today, I haven't got long, but we're going to look at three key questions. And does God really heal today? Does he actually really heal? Is this a kind of naive hope, or do we actually have a God that heals today? And what about the people who aren't healed? Because if you've lived long enough, you see some people who aren't healed. And then I'm going to talk about some practical things about how we can pray for healing at the end. And I'm really going to make sure there's enough time so we can pray for each other and we can pray for healing at the end of the service as well, so prepare for that. But I want to say right from the start is that there's not necessarily a nice, neat box we can put this whole issue of healing around. There's a mystery to it. It's not clear cut. And end of today, it's not still going to remain clear cut. And I think there's some mystery in it which needs to remain a bit of a mystery. You can't tie it down completely, but we can get our heads around it more and we can build our faith around it. On that note, I'm going to pray. Father God, we invite you here. Lord, a particular heart goes out to those watching online or in the service right now who are struggling long-term of health issues. I pray you be with them. I pray you open the door. I pray for healing for them, Lord, but help all of us know how we can support each other as a church family around this area of healing and illness. And thank you that you are the all-powerful God we can lean on and trust in. Speak to us, each one of us today, we pray. Amen. Amen. So does God heal today? That's a really good question. If you go to that slide there, thanks. Does he heal today? And if you look at the New Testament, particularly the New Testament, there's not a lot of healings in the Old Testament. There are a few. But in the New Testament, does God heal today? You'll look at the New Testament and you'll certainly see he healed in the New Testament times. When Jesus did a whole series of miracles, 24 of them were healings. And he healed the crippled, he healed the blind, he healed those who are bleeding, he healed those with leprosy and other diseases. Healing after healing. Jesus was a healing Messiah. And he was healing because he was full of compassion. He was also full of healing because it was a sign, really, that he is the Son of God. A lot of his miracles were the fact that, hey, I'm doing these miracles so you can trust that I am who I say I am, and that is the Son of the living God. Jesus healed. But was it just Jesus? No, it wasn't just Jesus. If you go to the slide, thanks. It's also, you see that Jesus commissioned his disciples, everyday guys, who weren't particularly special. He said, Jesus sent his 12 disciples, called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and illness. He commissioned them, and he actually commissioned about 72 of them at another stage to go out two by two to bring the message of the kingdom and to heal. So the disciples were given that mandate, and the miraculous was happened, and fantastic things. Lives were changed because of the ministry of his disciples, but it didn't end there. No, it didn't, because you actually see in the history book of Acts with the early church, after Jesus is raised up, sent this Holy Spirit down, there's healings in the early church when Jesus has gone back to heaven. Healings still occurred. And you see in the book of Acts, there are at least 11 healings, probably more, about the miraculous. And the people then, early church leaders, disciples, they saw healings. But what about us today? It's great to see those documented examples. But what about us today? Is healing something that's relevant for us today? Can we be agents of healing? And to answer this question, I'm going to look at a passage in James. James was the brother of Jesus. He wrote this letter to the church scattered. He was a leader in Jerusalem, and he wrote this letter to the church around the known world. So lots of churches will have got this letter, and he was helping them at the end of this letter to get their head around healing and prayer. So we're going to look at that now. So you get your Bibles, turn to James 5, verse 13. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Other versions say hurting. In hurting or in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you ill? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So I'm not going to have time to go through in detail in this passage, but there's some really good things. We're asking the question, does God heal today? Well, you can see that James was encouraging the church scattered around the known world to pray for healing, which indicates to me that healing is something that can happen today. And what did he encourage them to pray for? And I thought, I'm quite encouraged, because he's encouraging them to pray for a very broad definition over healing. Some versions say the hurting, some versions say the sick. And actually in the Greek for this passage, there's actually a number of meanings, different words around illness and sickness. Some of them are actually around the traditional sickness, physical ailments that you might think of. But there was actually broader. Some of the words in the Greek actually meant weary and feeling like giving up. He's saying that's kind of that was referred to sickness in this passage. So it's very broad. So he's kind of saying if you're hurting, if you're troubled, if you're wearied, you're tired, if you're worn out, if you're sick, if you're concerned about cancer or just ordinary aches or pains, if you're anxious, full of anxiety, if you're stressed out, pray. Pray for healing. So it's safe to assume that healing's certainly from the New Testament writers, was expected to happen and continue to today. And then who can pray? Because it talks about church elders here with oil, but it also talks about, at the start there, let them pray, let everyone pray. And also talking about Elijah, who's just a human being just like us, and he prayed and miracles happened around the rain. So he's encouraging anyone to pray. And there might be a role that the church leaders can take, but it's not exclusive. It's for everyone to pray. So we pray to very broad definitions of ailments. Also, who can pray? A lot of people can pray. Everyone can, who follows Jesus. There's the mention around a righteous man, a righteous person. And you don't need to be perfect. It's really meaning someone who's in the business of God, who often confesses their sins, who's on the journey to become more like Jesus, who's intentionally following him. That's the sort of person who can pray. And it talks about needing faith. How much faith do you need? Well, it says, and elsewhere in the New Testament, you need faith as small as a mustard seed. Because the amount of faith we have isn't necessarily that important. It's that we do have faith, some faith, a piece of faith in the living Savior, Jesus. So I want to take a quick tangent to talk about this oil too, because it's actually not mentioned much in the New Testament. And actually, the New Testament scholars are not quite sure why the elders were meant to pour oil over them. But oil in the Old Testament was kind of used for consecration, to set people apart for service. That was how it was used. And so the anointing is kind of, the best explanation is the anointing here, oil, is kind of like a physical representation of what's happening spiritually. It's kind of like the oil is being, that person's set apart, that person's trusting God, is setting himself as part of God's team and trusting him for his healing and for the future. And I just want to clarify, we do this off and on in our church. We visit people. We don't get a liter of olive oil and pour it over them. That'd be a bit messy. It could be quite fun, but a bit messy. We might dab a bit of oil on someone's forehead. And the oil itself is not special. It's what it represents, that they are trusting God, like setting ourselves for his service. And now we had the privilege in 2019 to go to Jerusalem. I brought a wee bit of healing oil back. There's nothing special about that oil. Nothing at all. What's powerful is Jesus and prayer of faith. I do really want to mention this passage here in John 14. If you go to the slide, thanks, Ian. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith for me will do what I've been doing. What was he doing? He was healing and doing other things, miraculous. He will do even greater miracles than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So the purpose is to bring glory to the Father, as Rebecca said. So Jesus is a pretty radical statement. There's actually a lot of debate in scholars exactly what did Jesus mean by that. Jesus had 100% success rate. When he prayed for people, they were healed. Not many people that I know of have that kind of ability, and not anyone really. And Jesus did the miraculous. Now, it's good to note, in Jesus' time, not everyone was healed. Everyone he prayed for was, but there would have been hundreds, thousands of people who lived in Israel at the time who were sick, who didn't get prayed for. As I said, one of the reasons was signs and wonders. But I think one of the best explanations of this passage, which really helped me, is Rick Warren, who's a US pastor. He said, not necessarily any individual can do more than Jesus did. Jesus could only be at one place at one time. But we have over 2 billion Christians in every corner of this world. We can pray in faith that God will heal people in a way that Jesus could only be in one place at a time. We can be in 2 billion places at a time and see God's work through healing happen in a way that Jesus could never do on his own. We can see greater things through prayer. The final thing I kind of want to say about does God heal today is a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a passage around spiritual gifts. And this is Paul speaking about spiritual gifts and how that's distributed to everyone who follows Jesus has a supernatural gift and given from God. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. We can actually live our Christian life uninformed about spiritual gifts. In verse 8, to one there is given, this is a spiritual gift, is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Then it goes on to talk about prophecy and tongues as gifts. And in verse 11 it says, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now we've said earlier, anyone can pray for healing. Anyone can be an agent of healing through prayer in Jesus' name. But there is an aspect here that some people have a spiritual gift of healing and of faith. And I want to challenge some of you here are likely to have that gift, or maybe you think you might have that gift. The gifts are there to give God glory and to build the church. I encourage you to explore that further. I would love to pray over you if you think they have gifts. Activate it, use it. And, Paul wouldn't be talking about the gift of healing if healings didn't happen today. He wouldn't be in his time after Jesus had raised. Paul is talking about something that is relevant today. Now, in the last bit of this, but does God heal today? We're going to have a short video now of a family in our church who've got amazing testimony of God's hand in their son. We're going to hear that now. And just really fresh, the story about how God has miraculously provided a healing. So we're going to hear that now.
Okay, so I'm Bonnie, and this is my husband, Joss. Yeah, and we have been coming to RCC for just over 2 years now, and we have 4 children, and just live here in Avonhead. And on the 19th of May this year, which is 2 months ago, we got a phone call to say that our son Scott had a terrible accident with the result of an explosion that occurred because he was cutting a drum. And he was pretty much knocked over with it and got really bad head injuries, and that was pretty much the only injuries he had, but they were severe. So when he got to hospital, he went straight into the scanning room where they found he had 3 brain bleeds and fractures around his eye and at the base of his skull as well. And he had a lot of facial damage because he was wearing a helmet, and that got whipped off by the explosion, which damaged his nose and his... And on the other side of his brain, so that was on that side, and then where his brain had smashed through his head, he also had a big bruise on the other side, so that was also quite a bad injury. So he ended up going to ICU for maybe 16 days, and for the first few days, it was touch and go.
I think we were pretty strong about Scott. He was in a dire strait, of course, and we'd had a couple of family meetings to say goodbye to him. But none of us really wanted to let go. If it was God's will that he went, then it was God's will. But if it was God's will that he stayed, and we would have had 2,000 or 3,000 people around the country, everywhere else in the world, praying for Scott. It was just utterly amazing, and a lot of our non-Christian friends were praying for him too, which blew us away.
And then one day, one of our sons went in, and he came out, and he looked like really upset, sort of, and he said, "Glenn, that's one of our other sons, can you just go in there and check out on this?" He said, I felt Scott squeeze my hand, and so I said, "Scott, I'm going to go to the other side, and I want you to squeeze my hand on the other side." So he did, and he squeezed his hand on the other side. He said, "But I don't know if I'm imagining it." So Glenn went in and came out, and he said, "Yep, he did the same for me." And after that, he just steadily kind of woke up. And then we all kind of wondered, how would he wake up? We had no idea. We had no idea if he's going to...
Brain injury, yeah.
Yeah, if he's going to have... movement and feeling and understanding, and no idea about any of those things. But honestly, he's just a miracle. He is up, walking. The doctor said he'd spend 3 to 6 months in a rehab unit after he got out of ICU and the neuro ward. And he spent 3.5 weeks in the central home.
Did 20 minutes on a treadmill, 50 minutes on a bike. Just amazing. And God's miracle is really that he healed him and came back to us. It's just unbelievable, really.
Isn't that awesome? It was really touch and go for a long time. They did say their final goodbyes a couple of times. And the road to recovery looked like it was going to be a long, long road. And yet this Wednesday, this week, he came home in amazing shape. Praise God. But around the time that Scott was experiencing a massive improvement in his health, was a week that Kef and I went to some funerals. Kef went to 2 funerals, I went to 1 funeral, of godly women who were taken before their time. Both of them had a lot of people praying for them. Both of them were cared for and loved ones. Both of them didn't experience healing. So how do you grapple with the miracle we see in Scott? Isn't it awesome? But also the apparent tragedy or the loss of a loved one who desperately had so many people praying for healing. So what do we do with that? How do we process the fact that God can heal? But often and sometimes he doesn't. He doesn't heal. And I think I think one of the theologies we need to be careful about, one of the thoughts we need to be careful about is that it's not necessarily God's will that we never have an illness. Not necessary that at all. We see, if you go to the slide, thanks, Ian, Psalm 119, it says, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." There's a number of times in Scripture it talks about ailments, maybe physical, which actually help us draw back to God. In fact, Apostle Paul, he had a physical ailment. It was called a thorn in his flesh. It wasn't a literal thorn. It was a health ailment that he had. And he prayed three times that it would go. We're not quite sure what it is. There's lots of theories, but that's really beside the point. He prayed that this physical challenge he had would go. He prayed for healing. And this is the Apostle Paul. His faith was not limited, wasn't constrained. And yet God decided not to take that away from him. And he would reflect in his writings that it was God's will that he kept humble. And this is one way that God is using him to keep humble. Not necessarily God's will that we're completely free from ill health. Healing, ill health can sometimes mean we persevere, just like the people who don't follow Jesus. And look, if you're an unchurched person who knows Rebecca, you know there's something special about her, the way she's endured her health challenges. She is special. It's a testimony to God sometimes. And I think there's, I'm going to talk about this in a minute too, that ultimately we'll get healing, not necessarily on this world, but we would be healed. But the other thing about this, and which is hard to get your head around, is the time we are living in history. We're in this time where God's kingdom came through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again, was victorious about sin, but we're not experiencing the full benefit of victory over sin yet. We will in the future. God's kingdom is here, but not in its fullness. There's a sense that because of the fall, because of sin through Adam and Eve, we still live in a fallen world that's not perfect, that struggles with death and sickness. We can get glimpses of God's kingdom, in other words, his area of influence, his sphere of influence. We can get glimpses of that when we see the Scott stories. We celebrate that, but that's not necessarily the automatic or the norm while we live in this in-between time when God's kingdom's here, but not in its fullness yet. And that doesn't necessarily help explain away grief or help process grief, but it is the times we are living in. And that's why it's really good to just remind ourselves, if you go to the slide, this is a book, it's a really good book I read from Derek. He said, "The church now lives in the times of unique dimension where the fallenness of the world and the glory of the future kingdom coexist." We're in this in-between time. We see the glory of God. Yes, sometimes God is glorified through Scott, but we don't always see it because we are coexisting in this time in between. But it's really good to focus on what is to come. And it says in Revelation 21, verse 4, "He will wipe every tear in the age to come from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things will pass away." The old order, where we're in this in-between, that will pass away. When Jesus comes again, or we die, we will experience, in faith, incredible times of no sickness, no mourning. And sometimes in God's providence, we don't understand why. Healing isn't in this world. Healing is in the next world. And the healing is complete and perfect. We have that hope before us. And how, I want to talk briefly just about how can we pray for healing. Given this tension that God can heal, but he doesn't always heal. How can we keep this tension of faith, but also trust that God knows best? How can we cope with that? And in the Alpha course, there's a session on healing. It's a great session. I would encourage you can just go over Alpha Film Series and go healing, and it's about half an hour. It's a really good session on healing if you want to actually get your head around it a bit more. But Nicky Gumbel, who sort of heads up Alpha, he quoted John Wimber, who was very influential in his life. John Wimber was an American pastor. He passed away quite some years. He really started the spiritual renewal in many churches. He started the Vineyard movement, which is here in Christchurch as well. And Nicky Gumbel quotes John Wimber, and he says, "When we prayed for no one, no one got healed. Now we pray for lots of people to be healed, and some are. That might not seem very satisfactory, but that's often how the kingdom works at the moment. When we pray for no one, no one got healed. When we pray for lots of people to be healed, some are. And I know which rather I would be. I'd rather be praying for lots and seeing some healed. And when we come to pray for healing, I think it's good to remind ourselves of the posture, thanks, Ian, the posture of God, of Jesus has for us. He wants to give us good things. He doesn't want to be a stingy God. He says, if then you are, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's good to remind ourselves that is God's posture towards us when we come to prayer and healing. But when it comes to praying for healing, there's no magic formula. In fact, of the 24 healings that Jesus did, virtually none are done the same way twice. And I think that's intentional because there's no formula, no five-step thing we can do to pray for healing to see it guaranteed or more likely to happen. Sometimes Jesus' healing is in public. Sometimes it was in private. Sometimes he spoke a word from a distance. Sometimes he reached out and touched. Sometimes he did the touching. Sometimes other people touched him. Sometimes the healing came with teaching and a warning, and often it didn't. Sometimes people asked for healing, and other times he healed and they didn't even ask for it. You get the picture. There's kind of like Jesus didn't actually give us a two-step model, five-step model, which I think is good. There's no formula. There's a mystery around this. But there's some principles I'd like to bring out just as I'm getting near the end here, some practical considerations. And I think this is, I've been praying about this quite a bit. Let's be a praying church for healing. Let's be a community, a whānau that prays for healing. Let's step into this more. Let's have a default is that when we hear something about healing, let's stop and pray. We often do that in our staff meetings. If someone comes up, stop. Let's pray right now. Let's pray in faith that this person will be healed. The other thing I've been challenged on the last couple of years is, are you praying for yourself? I've often talked to people who have often got minor or major health issues, and I say to them, hey, have you prayed for healing over yourself? You're actually allowed to do that. And often the answer is no. How about you pray? Now, I've been challenged personally. If I have a small issue, big issue, God's interested in all issues. Pray for healing for yourself. Let's be a praying church. Ask people to pray for you. Where you know, your friends or your life group, be a part of life group and pray for you. And may it not just be, you know, oh, let's pray for me. Bless. No, really pray. Pray specifically. Pray upon them intentionally. And look, we are very happy to do visits to pray. I promise we won't pour a liter of olive oil over you. We're happy to visit. Pray. Be a default faith and prayer. That's the kind of church I think God is calling us to be. The other thing is, don't pile on guilt or blame. And I don't think this is a cultural issue in our church at all. But you can get into situations, you need to conjure up more faith. You know, you haven't got enough faith for healing. And as I said, that's dangerous. Who is us to judge how much faith someone has or doesn't have? Yes, it says in the Bible, faith is needed. A good person is needed. But really, you only need a wee bit of faith because it's who we trust in. Is amazing. And Jesus healed some people who didn't even ask to be healed, who didn't necessarily have any faith. But faith is an ingredient there. But don't pile on guilt or blame if a healing doesn't happen. That's dangerous territory to be in. Now, use prophetic words carefully. Now, I think we want to be a church that the prophetic is alive and well, but use it carefully. My wife's a medical specialist. And she's seen a situation where in a church, someone had a prophetic word of someone who had a terrible illness, ongoing illness, and said, you will be healed. A prophetic word I have for you. You know, obviously a bit more to it than just that, but that was the essence of it. And that person, I'm not sure if it was intended that way, but that person went away thinking, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to stop all my treatment. I'm not going to pursue medical treatment. And the trajectory of that person is not good. God can use modern medicine to bring healing. Thank God for the miracle of modern medicine. Don't, as a result of a prophetic word or necessary, stop using modern medicine. That's a gift from God. So be careful, use them carefully. The other thing which I've seen as a pastor where a prophetic word has been used, and you know, that's to be encouraged, but I've also seen it really sad where it's been a family who, because they're holding on to this prophetic word, don't actually grieve well. Don't actually go through that process of grieving And I've seen it when the person dies, they've been holding on to this truth, so they haven't said the final things they needed to say. They haven't actually brought closure. They haven't actually shared what's on their heart because they've been holding on to this. Now, it's a delicate thing to get right, I know, but it kind of upsets me when people haven't processed death, because, you know, we are all going to die, and we need to process in a healthy way. So keep the prophetic, be careful about that. I'm not saying don't use it, and don't speak it. If you have a word, do share it, but share it with wisdom. And I've said this already, pray specifically in Jesus' name, pray specifically. Christy was here in the first service. Christy Perry Jennings is one of our pastors. She had a nasty fracture just a few weeks ago, and I mean nasty fracture in her leg. And I'm not praying, you know, I don't go to my quiet times when I start and say, bless Christy. She needs healing, bless her. No, I go, bless her ankle, the three fractures. Bless, work, I pray, healing through the plate and the screws that she has. She's got lots. I pray specifically about aspects of her healing. Pray specifically for healing, specifically as you can. And I think that's something that really, I mean, it helps build your faith when something happens, when healing does happen, if it happens. But I pray specifically, not just some generic God bless. And I think, keep in mind that we have a hope. And I think our perspective of eternity and now is all mixed up as Christians. We have an eternity with Jesus. We have eternity where he's going to heal us. We will be completely right with him. That's our hope. That's the ultimate hope. And we don't know why some people are healed and some people don't. But we do know, have faith, that we can actually trust that ultimately we will be healed. I'm just going to spend a few minutes now, maybe just spending time in prayer. Over healing. I could ask Dave if you could come up, thanks. I didn't ask you to think yourself, what's one person in your world that you can pray for healing right now? Someone in your world, you know, and it can be really broad. What I mean by healing, as I said in that James passage, is very broad. Can you think of someone now who needs Jesus' touch of healing? I encourage you just to bow your heads, think of that person's name, and pray specifically for them. Right now yourself, just between you and God, pray for that individual. Challenge you to maybe keep praying for that person during this week. The person that came to mind, why don't you commit to pray for them this week? Let them know they're praying for it. Ask, ring them up, text them, what could I specifically pray more? Keep that process going. The other thing I want to challenge now and just encourage for those of you here who need healing. I've been praying this week for people who might have bad backs. I'm going to ask if you need healing, to put your hand up in a minute. Not right now, but in a minute. If you've got a bad back, if you've got asthma, if you've got anxiety, if you're concerned over cancer or some other disease like that, if you have joint pain, if you've got after effects of COVID, if you're watching online, you have COVID, anything else that's going on, I'm gonna ask that you actually step out here. And I was actually talking to someone after the first service, and they said to me, so out of my comfort zone, I put my hand up, and I'm so pleased I did. And she felt God moved. So I'm gonna ask if you know, just put your hands up, your heads up, I want to look. I want to ask that you put your hand up, and then people around you can pray for you. That would be the plan. I know it's not what we normally do here at RCC, but I believe that's what we're called to do, is to be a challenge, a praying family fun hour. So if you've got a prayer need for healing, can I encourage you to put your hand up now? It's not a big deal. Look around, those around you. Can you move? Can you turn around? Can you actually say, what can I pray for specifically? Can you do that now? I'm going to give you time. So someone at the back there, that'd be great if you could pray for. So we just spend a few minutes, just as Dave plays. We're going to see I'm going to ask that God will bring healing to these people. Keep praying, don't stop. I'm just going to pray as well as we come to the end of the service. Do keep praying. Father God, you're a mighty God. You can do all things. And Father God, I pray for those who've been prayed for now that they'll experience your healing, your touch. Think you want to give us good things, and I pray in faith, in Jesus' name, that those who put their hands up would experience your healing today. And Father God, for those who are in this place who haven't put their hand up, who are experiencing a bad back or anxiety or just really struggling, hurting and in trouble, Lord, I pray that they'll know your healing. And Lord, I pray for those people that came to mind that we've all prayed for this morning in our own minds towards you. I pray we'll hear stories of healing, of them being healed as well, Lord. Lord, help us to be a healing church, but also help us to keep the tension that your kingdom's not here fully, and we need to trust in you. Lord, thank you for the hope we have, no matter what happens, our eternity and fullness of health is assured as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to finish with a song, but if you want to continue praying throughout the song, please do. Otherwise, please stand.
And stories of what they